You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development and the United Nations Non-Governmental Liaison Service.
First of all, I would like to thank the organizers, in special Carlos and Hamish, by far to organize this special session. Before I start my presentation, I would like to mention three things. One is I really, really apologize for my poor English. It would be worse when I start to read, because I have to read. And another two things is just point out the importance of Joaquim Melo, the coordinator of Instituto Palmas, and one of the responsible to create the Palmas Bank in 1998. He is a brilliant mind and tireless solidarity finance activist. Also, he is the co-author of this paper. Another thing that I would like to say is our partnership with the Instituto Palmas that represents a strong partnership between the researchers, the university, and a social organization. We are doing researches together. This paper is a result of it, and also a book that Joaquim showed during the video. We still have only Portuguese version, but in June we are preparing an English version. So I'm here representing the partnership between Instituto Palmas and the Center of Solidarity Economy and at the University of São Paulo, NESOL, the organization that I work. NESOL was created in 2002, and Paul Singer was the one of the most important professor in this process. We had the pleasure to work close to him, and we still learn a lot, not only with his thoughts, but mainly with his generosity and experience. The main goal of NESOL is the rethinking of practical work and theoretical reflections. This paper is a result of our experience as an actor in the process of co-constructions of public policy and solidarity economy in Brazil, and also a result of our projects that support and create community developed banks. We call CDB, so sometimes I will say CDB. And for us, and we think, is we can't separate research and practical work in solidarity economy. Also, NESOL is a part of the national coordination of the Brazilian Forum of Solidarity Economy, the most important network in Brazil that articulate the CCE initiatives. Now I will start to talk about my presentation. I'm not using the, we did a PowerPoint, but so I'm just reading. So some patience. So our paper has an objective that is discuss or analyze the process of co-construction of solidarity finance public policy in Brazil and its challenges. For that, we also will describe the context of arising the solidarity economy in Brazil with a brief reviewing our political history since the 60s and also present very fast the CDB strategy. Before that, we think it's important to present very quickly our solidarity economy framework in order to make our starting point for discussion. For us, solidarity economy provides continuity to the labor struggle for better working conditions and for overcoming social inequalities. Despite talking of certain continuity, new practice and a new discourse are elaborated aiming to provide economic solution to political actions. Other important characteristic is rethinking the separation that who makes and who thinks, and the central role of the self-management. Another important issue is to understand the educational dimension of the solidarity economy initiatives. Another one is the conception of territorial development that not means growing and only economic dimension, but cultural, social, and political too. For this discussion, the proposition of another relationship between state and civil society is very important. To talk about solidarity economy initiatives and public public policy in Brazil, it becomes key to recapture the process by which Brazil became democratic once again after dictatorial period. Carlos was telling about the history of Banco Palmas. I think the history of Banco Palmas can be an example that what I will describe now, more general. During the 70s and the 80s, emerged a group of organizations that took on urban questions such as housing, infrastructure, and health, which came to be referred to as the new social movements. Together with those social movements, the new unionism became stronger with the strikes in the area of Greater São Paulo. Lula was one of the leadership of this group. These organizations, with the support of the most progressive sectors of the Catholic Church, which operate from grassroots ecclesiastic communities that Carlos said about the libertation, Teologia da Libertação, and of the intellectuals and activities that were being persecuted by the military government, became an important force in the process of democratization of Brazilian society. These initiatives was a political landscape was shaped beyond state level with the active participation of civil society in the political debate. It is within this space where several of these groups meet that the Workers' Party emerges during the Middle Ages, PT, the party. It is with the approval of Citizens' Constitution in 1988, which guaranteed important change for the promotion of people's civil rights and the formalization of public space for civil society, that a new movement seemed to be in the rising. Meanwhile, this mobilization, as well as the new political contest, did not translate into decreasing social inequality and improvement of the quality of life of the poorest segment of the population. On the contrary, during the 90s, neoliberal policies became an enormous barrier for the consolidation of recent social victories by pushing budget and state cuts in the line with the idea of minimum states. Furthermore, the flexibilization of labor laws and a productive restructuration with an increase in employment result in a large amount of working people turning towards informality. Within the context of the new liberalism government in the 90s, those movements that I described began to cope with the unemployment question and the increase of informality. These initiatives worked as a counterweight to the neoliberal politics of the Brazilian government, which were deepening historical, regional, and social inequalities. The arrival of Lula's government opened up a new phase of the grassroots organizations for the actualization of public policy and social rights, as well in the increase of participation in design of public policy. The establishment in 2003 of the National Secretariat of Solidarity Economy, SENAIS, within the Ministry of Labor and Employment, became a great mobilization effort from several social actors in search of the institutional space needed for the initiatives that began to appear in the middle of the 90s. Also, during 2003, the Brazilian Forum for the Solidarity Economy was established, which tries to aggregate all of the initiatives that are part of the field of the solidarity economy. So with this brief review, I think we can realize that it's part of the social movements of a rise at the 80s introduced the solidarity economy in your activities or initiatives, and SENAIS is a result of a civil society organization. Here, the initiative that we are looking for was described by Carlos and Camille, the community development banks. I just highlight the most important issues for us. The reorganized local economies, the use of social currents that give territorial character of the actions, community identity, and a symbol of indigenous development and education aspect. The territory development, can be the strategy with linked local consumption with local production based on the principles of solidarity economy and the self-manage of the community, or the dimension of the participation. Said that and point out that CDB is a territorial development initiative that uses financial tools, I will describe the context of the Brazilian financial inclusive public policies and how the CDBs got stronger in this context. So I will go again to the 90s. Starting the 90s with the economic and monetary stabilization brought about by the Plano Real, the Brazilian government, together with the Central Bank of Brazil, has been implementing action towards increasing the access to the financial systems by the poorest sectors of the country, both in terms of access to credit and bank service. However, it's not until 2003 that the government adopted financial and bank inclusion as a priority and considered it an essential part in reducing social inequalities and provide economic development. With that in mind, the simplified bank account was created, the mandatory transferring of 2% of demand deposits for microcredit operations, and the consolidation of legislation regarding bank correspondence. Another government initiative was a new legal framework developed to support a new legal entities that could perform microfinance service. In 1997, the public bank Banco do Nordeste do Brasil founded Crédito Amigo, which eventually became the largest microcredit operation in Brazil. During Lula's government in 2003, Banco Popular do Brasil was established for purpose of providing savings and credit service to lowest income populations. Later on, in 2005, the National Program of Oriented Microcredit is created with funding from Worker Assistance Fund. This is the biggest fund for workers in Brazil. In order for the government to promote financial inclusion, it must create the right environment for commercial banks and especially public banks to feel the need to increase the scope of their actions and thus include the government's ultimate goals. If on the one hand, the bank inclusion process and relative change of the financial systems were aligned to the pressures of financial institutions and to the creation of minimalist strategies within the field of microfinance, on the other hand, there was the dissonant discourse coming from the field of solidarity finance, which always understood microfinance tools as something that should be part of a larger strategy that would include the needs of the territory and its local dynamics. SENAIS became an important interlocutor within the government for a different discourse that proposed a new notion of development guided by the principles of democracy and collective construction. In terms of financing the actions of solidarity finance, SENAIS always had programs to support CDBs. In 2005, SENAIS supported with funds Instituto Palmas to create new community banks in other states. In 2010, SENAIS opened up a new round of funding for solidarity finance initiatives through a public call for proposals in order to support national and regional entities that work with CDBs and solidarity rotating funds. Today, because of this program, there are 103 CDBs in 9 states in Brazil, 19. As part of the dialogues with public banks, there was a direct partnership between Banco Popular do Brasil and Instituto Palmas established in 2005. Under this agreement, CDBs would start offering banking correspondence services such as bill payments, opening bank accounts, and deposits. In addition, CDBs began to have access to a credit portfolio. Starting in 2010, Instituto Palmas begins to work with Caixa Econômica Federal, another major public bank, to provide the bank service. Another important partnership between a public bank and the Brazilian network of CDBs was established with the National Bank of Social and Economic Development, BNDES. In 2010, Instituto Palmas accessed a credit line that BNDES has available to support microcredit institutions. Furthermore, they was able to access the Program for Institutional Development offered by BNDES to support the actions of 51 CDBs in the network. Despite the fact that BNDES has a department focused on supporting solidarity economy efforts, where funding is made available to support productive initiatives of the solidarity economy, there is no specific fund available to support the solidarity finance. Ok. Tá, já vai acabar. Thus, Instituto Palmas has to access other programs made available for microcredit institutions. I'll just read about the relation with Central Bank because it's about the social currency. Now, Central Bank of Brazil understands the use of social currency as the use of a complementary currency. In 2007, the Central Bank approved a research project in order to gain a better understanding and evaluate the possibilities, limits, and potential of the social currency issued by the CDBs. Different from the year 2000, when the Central Bank went to Banco Palmas because they had received a complaint about the issuing of currency, in the past, three financial inclusion forums held by the Central Bank, there has been a space for the debate of CDBs and social currency. So social currency and CDBs have been recognized as important instruments in support of economic development and for the financial and social inclusion of the population. In other words, the financial inclusion agenda, which has become central for the government, opens up the policies and action to support CDBs and solidarity finance overall. Calma, tem mais um pedacinho. So, I just read three challenges. We can see that community developed banks have increased the breadth of partnerships, both for funding and institutional support, with a diverse set of institutions. Furthermore, CDBs have been understood as an important development strategy that is able to intertwine different public policies at different levels of the government. However, there are a number of challenges to be addressed in the path forward. CDBs, about legislation. CDB, since they are a social organization, they qualify to be in the category described under the law of NGOs and within the decree that regulates the entities with microcredit as the main purpose. For Brazilian legislation, such entities are not considered to be financial institutions and thus are not regulated by the Central Bank. The fact that they are defined by the social aspect instead of a financial one prevents them from collecting deposits, and thus without that ability, CDBs are not able to create their own financial and banking products. Hence, there is legislation in force that does not cover completely the activities of community developed banks. Because that, the development of national system of solidarity finance, together with a funding system, are considered to be of paramount importance by the practitioners in the field, in order to advance and consolidate this experience within the state's apparatus. In terms of grounded proposals, we have the bill from Federal Congresswoman Luiza Erundina, which has been trying to gain approval since 2007 and is still being discussed by the government. There is another challenge, but we can read you can read in the paper, is the process of co-construction, the civil society and the state. I think there is an interesting discussion. And another one is what is quality and quantity when you're talking about CDBs, and what do you think about scale when you're talking about CDBs? Just to finish the last one, we think the connections between the public sector and the actions of CDBs are essential in building effective actions in order to create an integrated community development. However, solidarity finance initiatives cannot be seen by the public sector as agents that simply take government actions to the field. In fact, they are institutions that result from grassroots and community organization and produce innovative arrangements linking this local history and culture to the construction foundation of zone development. It's a political action which puts community back in the driver's seat of writing its own history, thus rejecting the role of silenced recipients of government policy or just passive operators of the actions. Thank you, and I'm sorry for my English.
Check out our other podcasts, available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.